listen, listen to this man. He got some good news for you. Hey, everybody, gather near. The doctor's in the house, so lend him your ear. The things he can say might even make your day. He might even help your pain go away. The doctor is in the house. The doctor is in the house. Let the doctor know what's bothering you. I'm sure he can tell you just what to do. The doctor is in the house.
Oh, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, the doctor is in the house. Welcome, everybody, and I do welcome you with an attitude of gratitude to Dr. Ron, unfiltered, uncensored, and definitely unapologetic. I welcome all you wellness warriors to the program who are taking care of yourselves, who are questioning everything, or being the CEOs of your own body. So welcome, everybody. Advocates for health. And remember, please, that self-care is not selfish. It's a necessity. Hippocrates said it many years ago, quote, if you are not your own doctor, you are a fool. It was true then, and it is true now, and maybe even more so. So as we go through our lives and try and be healthier, we should not forget to nurture our own physical, mental, and emotional well-being. We have to take time. We replenish our energy. Prioritize some rest in your day. And eat some good, wholesome foods to nourish your body. But always dare to question everything. Challenge the status quo, scrutinize conventional wisdom, and seek deeper truths. By embracing critical thinking, by embracing curiosity, we enrich our journey and also pave the way for some breakthroughs in holistic health. I want to go over again today about medical errors. They're hauntingly, they stand as the third leading cause of death. There are some medical authors that have it number one. You can look this up on every place but Google. Medical errors as the third leading cause of death. One of the main researchers came out of Johns Hopkins University. Despite advances in our medical science and technology, preventable mistakes continue to claim countless lives every year. Misdiagnosis, medication errors, surgical complications, and lack of transparency and communication. We have to know that this is what's happening. Now, I'm not saying that healthcare industry is all to blame by itself. It's not an indictment of that profession, but it's a call to action for change. It demands more transparency, accountability, and continuous improvement to ensure we all receive high, safe, quality care. We'll get into that in a minute. I just want to notify everybody that next week, April 8th, the day of the solar eclipse, I will have as my guests Dr. Will Wong and Micah Portney. And we will be discussing zeolite for detox and taking heavy metals out of our body and other things that you will learn about. I'll be doing this podcast live next Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, and you can dial in, actually. And the phone number is 515-605-9823. And then we'll play that again at our normal 4 o'clock spot on Podbean on Tuesday the 9th. So just mark that in your calendars with that phone number, 2 p.m. phone number to call in and listen is 515-605-9823. And those of you that have been with me over these years know that Dr. Will Wong is just tremendous in his knowledge. So, ladies and gentlemen, why do I want to talk to you about medical errors? Because it's really a heck of an issue. In the worldwide, there are 2.6 million deaths a year, and somewhere around 440,000 in the United States. And 10% of those deaths are attributed to medical errors. And as I said, it ranks somewhere between third and first place, depending on what mistakes are included in the equation. Why? Well, it's a mixture of things: inexperience, fatigue, diagnostic challenges. That's why we have to take control and minimize our risk of harm. I never thought I'd be saying this, but I mean, this was brought to my attention many years ago by Dr. Barbara Starfield. She published an article of all places in JAMA, the Journal of the American Medical Association, showing that physicians at that time were the third leading cause of death in the United States. It's a long time ago, right? But it hasn't changed. And as I said, if you consider other diseases in the equation, it could top heart disease. It's not something I'm proud of. Not at all. And I've done programs on this. I've quoted John Rappaport, who has studied this extensively. And that's J-O-N, if you go to look it up, John Rappaport. I just, again, want to bring it to your attention. Okay, and there's a book out called Death by Medicine by Dr. Dean and Gary Null and Marty Feldman and Dr. Rizzo and Dr. Dorothy Smith. Death by Medicine, I've quoted this before, and I don't want to go through all the errors and the hospital-acquired infections and deaths from unnecessary medical procedures. But it's still there, still a leading cause of death. That's why we have to be wellness warriors. We have to question everything. We have to have an advocate if we go in the hospital. So we have to insist on transparency. And we have to make sure we have an informed choice. I'll get a little bit more into that in a minute. And we have to make sure people are held accountable. Why do they make so many mistakes? Well, that's another show in itself. Because of the pill for an ill mentality. And doctors don't like to discuss their mistakes openly because of the Morgan and Morgan effect, though, because of all the suits. So we have to do everything we can to reduce that error so we do not become a statistic. There's a study out that finds that 25% of hospitalizations result in healthcare adverse effects. This was published in the prestigious New England Journal of Medicine. A study published there, I quote, found that hospital-related adverse effects were identified in nearly 1 of 4 hospital admissions, and that approximately 1 in 4 of the events were preventable. Okay. And again, I could go on, have the study in front of me, but I just want to point that out to you. The study did point out that millions of patients, families, and healthcare personnel are being harmed by lack of leadership and accountability and proactive action taken to address adverse events, injuries, deaths occurring in hospitals that could potentially be prevented. That sacred oath we took of first do no harm is being called into question. And of course, the way the training in medical schools is now, it's basically funded by pharmaceutical companies, and they are not going to give grants to researchers that don't give them the results that they want. This pill for an ill mentality. And our model always focuses on the symptoms. Illnesses that can be treated with pharmaceutical products rather than dealing with the root cause of disease, or as Dr. Jerry says, get the splinter out, get to the cause of it. As I said last week, it's easier to say go on a diet, but lifestyle choices are rarely addressed, and alternative forms of medicine are often mocked. Yet they've been around for centuries, longer than Western medicine. But they are not made by the big pharmaceutical companies that can make mega bucks from them. So we all know that diet plays a role in maintaining our health, right? But medical training of the topic of nutrition receives very little time. On average, guess what? 19.6 hours through the 15,000 hours of education. By the way, physician's assistants have somewhere around 700 to 1,000 hours of education. So this pill for an ill approach is the underpinning of our medical model. And the pharmaceutical companies have a big influence over this practice. And it goes back, as I said, to the Flexner Report and the Rockefeller. And by the time young physicians now get out, they are not taught how to critically think. They are not taught how to do a physical examination. They are taught how to order tests and order prescriptions, a pill for an ill. And if there's no ill for the pill, the pharmaceutical companies will make one up for you. And because our medicine is quite fractionated, we have what's called therapeutic competition. It means if you're taking more than one drug, the results can be a crapshoot. One could cancel out the effect of the other. And I think most of us could know that in our heads. Or taking a drug for one condition might make the other condition worse. It's like we're part of a big experiment. Researchers at Yale and Oregon Health and Science University, they did something that you probably thought had already been done. They took a look at what can happen when multiple drugs are used by the same person. And they discovered what clueless healthcare providers have known nothing about. Now, you know, I'm not talking about the well-known drug interactions, the kind that the pharmacies use on their computer that are supposed to alert us when we have our prescriptions filled. Now, this is different. It's about what these researchers call the danger in treating conditions one at a time. Again, our care is fractionated. We have cardiologists, pulmonologists, and I've talked about this in the past. So take a cardiologist, will give you a pill to treat your high blood pressure. Then your arthritis is acting up, so your rheumatologist gives you a pill for that. While the combination won't set off any red flags at the pharmacy, that blood pressure medicine could be making your arthritis worse. And of course, what happens then? Take more pills. The researchers found that numerous conditions where this can happen, like high blood pressure, diabetes, and AFib. The co-author from Yale said more than 9 million older adults in the United States are being prescribed medications that may be causing them more harm than benefit. All right, since I'm on this page, let me just tell you what they said. Some of the conditions they found where drugs can compete with each other, where a drug taken for one problem can make another condition even more severe, included drugs for high blood pressure that can make arthritis, diabetes, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, and depression worse. Drugs to treat diabetes that can worsen heart disease, osteoporosis, and depression. Drugs taken for AFib that can intensify osteoporosis, depression, and dementia. Along with these conditions getting worse, the study found that the more drugs you take, the more you up your chance of taking a fall and becoming confused and dizzy. And ladies and gentlemen, those of you that are in my age group in the 80s, that's not a good thought. We do not want to fall. So this is what I'm talking about. Doctors as the third leading cause of death, maybe the first number one cause of death, and how this can destroy lives. And we're not talking about lives that people that don't die but have complications that last for a lifetime. You would think, you know, we used to have so much faith in our doctors. You know, it's almost a religion, right? But not anymore. It's really a crapshoot out there. Appropriately prescribed prescription drugs are the fourth leading cause of death. Got medical errors is number three. Appropriately prescribed. I'm not talking about illegal drugs. 330,000 patients die each year from prescription drugs in the United States and Europe. In other words, 330,000 deaths per year, the 6.6 million hospitalizations per year, and the 80 million medically minor problems per year stems from correctly prescribed medications. Isn't that scary? Now you know why you have to be your own doctor, as Hippocrates said many, many years ago. I mean, the numbers are staggering. Staggering to me. I mean, I can't think that high. So I bring this up because, as I said, Socrates has a saying. He says, I cannot teach anybody anything. I can only make them think. So I'm here to try to make you think. How is this pill for an ill working out for you? So just, you know, I get a little bit frustrated. And we've talked about what's the point of health. Life expectancy is falling. We talked about that last week. So we need a new paradigm. I guess you heard that. And one more, just to bring home the point. Hospital diagnostic errors send nearly one in four patients to the intensive care unit. This was a study out of UC San Francisco and the University of Colorado School of Medicine. 23% of patients either received an incorrect diagnosis or experienced delay in diagnosis. Of these cases, 17% resulted in temporary or permanent harm. Again, published in the Journal of the American Medical Association. It's almost like when I was a kid, my parents Don't go to the hospital. That's where you die. Hate to say that, but you gotta really have to have an advocate. So it's not only the deaths, but it can lead to longer hospital stays and permanent disability. And in this study that was reported, there are all kinds of cases that they quote about the different diseases. They even had a problem with physicians or physician assistants with choosing the right test, ordering the test in a timely fashion, correctly interpreting the results. So, of course, look, I'm not saying there's not a pressure on hospital teams because of the workload and staffing shortages. That's got to influence our medical care, but we have to know about it. And we have to think to ourselves, is there a better way? Is there a way using frequency medication, energy healing, would that help? And would transparency help? Now we have this, you know, fear going around now, which the fear is a virus. Just think about it. I mean, this whole country was shut down in 30 days because of fear. And now we hear a lot about the RSV vaccine. And according to physicians not employed by the FDA or the CDC, they say, quote, why would anyone take an RSV vaccine that has a reasonable chance of causing neurologic illness to prevent colds? The answer is that they are not being told the truth, unquote. So if your physician asks you if you want the RSV vaccine, please ask them if they would tell you about any deaths or side effects from this vaccine. And you could go to the Defenders website and look it up for yourself. Okay. And it's only been out for a short period of time, but already reports are showing 34 deaths and 302 serious adverse events, including Guillain-Barré syndrome, which affects mainly just the elderly, where your central nervous system is attacked. Again, you have to ask your physician to be transparent. And question him about the side effects. I mean, the RSV is a cold. Now, if you have a lot of comorbidities, you know, you're in heart failure, chronic lung disease, any of the chronic diseases, well, there might be a reason for you to take it, but your physician should explain that to you. And when you look at the VAERS, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, anywhere from 1 to 10% are reported there. So whatever you see there is underreported. So there are, again, this is on the Defender website, RSV vaccine. You can look this up, and you should look it up if you're a wellness warrior and want to take control of your health. Okay? Again, I've been getting these quotes sent to me by my friends, and Benjamin Franklin has a quote. It states, quote, by failing to prepare, you are preparing to fail. So if you're not preparing yourself for an alternative to a pill for an ill, you are preparing yourself to fail. So how do you stay healthy, ladies and gentlemen? What's your secret? Well, I had written some down here, but I think they all went to the bottom of this stack of papers. Well, Don't live in chains. Never, don't live where you think, I can't do that. I can never make that happen. If you truly believe that, you'll never accomplish anything. So don't live in chains. Only worry about what you think about yourself. Free yourself from being controlled by what other people think. Okay? And you know what? We are human. Allow yourself to make mistakes. That's okay. That's how you learn and grow. And it's completely normal. If you're looking to prove that you were wrong, it only proves that you are human. And accept things that you cannot change. Wishing life could be as it was before, that could be holding you back. Bring yourself into the present moment, and the present is a present. And learn forgiveness. Resentment and unwillingness to forgive will keep you locked in the past and prevent you from moving forward with your life. You're doing it for yourself. And if there's no other reason, you do it for that. Forgive and let go. They are all important in being healthy. Well, I have a stack of papers that got all messed up, so give me a second here. So being healthy, it goes back, ladies and gentlemen, to a lifestyle. If those of you have been with me, you know, when I interviewed Dr. Jaffe, Russell Jaffe, a number of times, he brought out the fact that only 8% of our genetics controls our body. We have 92% we can control. It's called epigenetics, and we can control it by lifestyle changes. Okay, so prevention, really important. Open your mind up to integrative medicine and meditation and biofield treatments. Because medicine, as I showed you or talked about, it's dangerous. You just hope you choose the right side effect from the medications. Okay, let's just talk a little bit about frequency and healing energy and where we have to go with this technology and into the future. Because everything in this world has a frequency. And it's like having a symphony orchestra. When our body is healthy, everything is in tune. But when it goes out of tune, we have disharmony and dis-ease. And frequency healing is a method to restore our body's harmony in this field of energy around us. And there are diagnostic ways that we can determine if you are out of balance. Myself, I use what's called divining rods. But there are also tuning forks that can be used. There's the Qigong healers can use their hands. Well, you can hear me turning papers, I guess, but I got a little bit messed up here, ladies and gentlemen. But anyway, so that is where we have to go for the future. Frequency healing. So frequency healing refers to the use of specific frequencies or vibrations to promote healing. And again, it's based on that idea that everything in the universe has a specific frequency down to every cell within our body. So we can use frequencies from different machines, like a Rife machine, Spooky 2, Cyber Alignment. And then this can get our bodies back into its natural frequencies to restore balance. And then when our body is balanced, we heal. Now, healing energy, on the other hand, refers to the idea that there's a subtle energy that permeates all things and can be used to facilitate healing. And it has different names: ki, prana, life force energy. And that can be influenced by Reiki, by acupuncture, by laying on of the hands. And you'll hear the term quantum healing. It refers to the idea that by tapping into the power of quantum mechanics, a person can heal themselves on a physical, emotional, and spiritual level. Again, it's based on the idea that everything in the universe is made up of energy, and this energy can be manipulated. One idea that's hard for most people to accept is that a person's thoughts and emotions can affect the energy within their body, that negative thoughts and emotions can disrupt energy and lead to illness and dis-ease. So by changing their thoughts, by changing their emotions, a person can restore balance to their energy and promote healing. Now, your normal allopathic physician will say you're crazy, because if you start talking about disharmony and dis-ease. But we know that low-frequency people are more prone to be sick and die. Low-frequency people have their frequencies totally out of balance. But by using the correct tools, we can restore that balance. Because our body, as I say, is a symphony of sounds. It's a symphony. Every organ, every bone, every cell. And together, they have a unified frequency. Just like a symphony orchestra. So one author says, quote, "We are the instruments, we are the orchestra, and we are the music." I can tell you one little just practical rabbit hole trail we go down quickly. I know of a friend, excuse me, whose child was being disciplined, and he was sent up to his room on the second floor of his house, hit his knee on the post of the banister, and started to cry. This same young man who was punished and cried on another day asked his parents if he could go up to his room and get his baseball glove to go play baseball with Michael. He hit his knee on the same rung of the same banister, but kept on going. The point is, it was the same pain, but the psychology of the event led to a different outcome. So our thoughts can influence our health. So, ladies and gentlemen, next week on April 8th, we will be interviewing Dr. William Wong, my dear friend and great guest over many, many podcasts over these last 7 years, and Mika Portney about zeolite. We'll be talking about how they can assist in detoxifications, what type of toxins they are good at removing, what are the risks and side effects, what are the contraindications, are there any science to back this up? So that'll be at 2 p.m. next Monday. And then if you miss it, don't worry, we'll be that show will then again run on Podbean at 4 p.m. on Tuesday the 9th. So thank you for tuning in. and hope I wasn't boring for you today, but I wanted to give you information so that you can be a wellness warrior and take control of your health. Have a great day.
Hey, everybody. Dr. Ron's finished for today. I hope you got some good wisdom for what the man had to say. If it's all about good health, he's the man you got to see. He has a lot more answers for you. So tune in next week when the doctor is in the house. Or when the doctor is in the house. Let the doctor know what's bothering you when the doctor is in the house. The doctor is in the house. Doctor is in the house. Let the doctor know what's bothering you. I'm sure he can tell you just what to do. The doctor is in the house. The doctor is in the house. Let the doctor know what's bothering you when the doctor is in the house. So if you have a pain, call the doctor. And if you have a strain, call the doctor. And let the doctor know what's bothering you when the doctor is in the house. The doctor is in the house. See you next week.